Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Tuesday, October 29th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. Let's talk some Monday Night Football. A couple injuries to get to, including a bunch on the San Francisco 49ers, and then your top 10 waiver ads of the week. Of course, I don't just have 10 on the waiver wire tool over at ftnfantasy.com. I actually have 48 right now. I actually had to add a couple players, and I may continue to do so. Of course, I'll lock it this afternoon, and then it'll be ready for you to use tonight. Get those waiver claims in. Don't worry about waking up at 3 a.m. Honestly, it's a waste of your time. You may think you're saving your priority, but when was the last time you actually really needed your priority, especially if you're being proactive? And we're going to get into proactive with the number one player in this week's waiver wire tool, but that's in a few minutes. Just be proactive. You won't have to worry about the 3 a.m. thing, which I still think is really silly. I love using game theory against my opponents in this game, and that's not a game theory play if a few other people in your league are doing it. It's not a strategy if everybody's doing it. It's just status quo. But enough about that. Let's talk about last night's game. So we saw the Pittsburgh Steelers defeat the New York Giants, and honestly, it was a boring first half. Second half was kind of entertaining, I found it to be at least, but there were some weird things going on, like the George Pickens double tap non-touchdown. I know it means that by rule, the refs were right. I mean, it is both feet by rule. It could be another body part except the hands, but not the same foot twice. I would expect the league to revisit this one, and maybe we'll see this come up for the rules committee. Who knows? But Pickens almost two touchdowns in this game. One was called back, and then that one was overturned. Okay. 5 for 74, not a huge deal. It was a good game, could have been a great game. And kind of like DK Metcalf a couple weeks ago, like, not going to hold this against Pickens. In fact, I think it has to be a part of our evaluation going forward. He's been awesome with Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson looks solid yet again. You know, he definitely is better for this offense than Justin Fields. I'm sorry, I don't like to root against Justin Fields. I like Justin Fields as a person a lot, but this is a football decision, and it seems like the right decision here for the Steelers. So with Wilson in there, Najee Harris has been rolling. Obviously, he did have his first 100-yard game with Fields still as the starter, but the last 2 weeks, I mean, Harris looks great all of a sudden. He was a plotter a few weeks ago, and now he's out here, you know, spin move, hurdling guys. You know, he's never going to be the fastest, but he looks like he has a little bit of burst and touched the ball 22 times, you know, and Jaylen Warren looked great too. He just, you know, he touched the ball 11 times, so I hope this ratio sticks. If it does, Najee Harris is going to be a rock-solid option down the stretch. And let's not forget, one thing that really, and fortunately he's dodged big injuries, but he doesn't miss games. You know, little injuries, he plays through them. And, you know, I love that about Najee Harris. I wouldn't go too crazy about Calvin Austin. I know he's going to pop in your, you know, look when you look back to last week's points scored, but you know, really it's Pickens, maybe Van Jefferson in deep leagues, but really it's Pickens. Moving over to the other side. Now, the big story coming out of the other side, I mean, is sort of twofold for Tyrann Tracy. First and foremost, like, if you needed any more evidence, I think this is it, right? For him, clearly ahead of Devin Singletary. It already happened last week, but I guess it flew under the radar for a lot of people because Tracy didn't put up big numbers, but he significantly outsnapped him back-to-back weeks. He goes 20 for 145 in a touchdown on the ground against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This wasn't against Carolina or something like that. This was against the Steelers. That's no joke. Caught two balls for 5 yards. Now, he left the game briefly because of a shoulder injury. Then he left the game at the end of the game due to a concussion. And he did tell reporters after the game that he was in protocol. So part of protocol, you cannot do interviews. So he was exiting the locker room and he just said in passing that he was in protocol. This happened on a Monday. Monday makes things tricky. Obviously, they play on Sunday. They have one less day than they ordinarily would if this was a Sunday concussion. Makes things tricky. What do we look for here? I would fully expect Wednesday to be DNP. If it is limited, oh boy, that's great. But Thursday is the pivotal practice. If he does not get to limited by Thursday, expect him out for a week. When he returns, he will still be ahead of Devin Singletary. This is already done. He's the better player. He gives the team the best chance. And if you're the team, like, why not lean in on this guy who it looks like you hit with in the draft? Like, honestly, and this is why I don't think the regime is fired. Like, the owner already said that that's not likely to happen. But I think Joe Shane has done a really good job of drafting the last couple of years. Not everything's going to hit, but when you look at guys like Tyrone Tracy, like, that's a really nice pick. You know, I think they nailed the best receiver in this class, and they didn't take him as the first receiver off the board. I think they've done a number of nice things. Now, they have to pull it all together. You know, I think the Brian Burns trade was very good. Like, there are a lot of things here, but they got to pull it all together. And probably a big part of that will be quarterback, because I don't think Daniel Jones is the answer, but he's still probably going to be the starter going forward. Anyway, and I don't want to bury Daniel Jones for one lackluster game. I still think this is an improved season for him, but, you know, is Daniel Jones the guy to put the team on his back and lead him to the promised land? I don't know if he'll ever be that. That's the problem. But regardless, I digress. Tyrone Tracy, we have to keep an eye on his status, but he was awesome here. Malik Nabers had 13 targets, 7 for 71. If this is a floor type game, fine. That's cool. And we did see Darius Slayton. So listeners to my SiriusXM show, I had said that, you know, Slayton could be over on one play, and he was over on one play on his player prop line, 4 for 108 for Darius Slayton. Easy peasy right there. He's a boomer bust guy, though. And don't just look to this week. If you're ever going to add a guy, don't just look to what he did last week. Look to what he has done over the course of the season, especially if we have now 8 weeks into the season, 8 weeks worth of data points. You'll see it's been a roller coaster ride. Now, the highs are high, but the lows are low. And if you're a fantasy manager who you can't handle the low, don't add him. If you get upset when players don't perform well in your starting lineup, don't add him, because you're going to get upset probably more than half the time. I'm not that type of player. Like, if a player puts up a dud in my lineup, oh well, it's not the end of the world, because this is football and that's going to happen. I know that, and that's how I operate, but you may operate very differently. And again, there's no real right or wrong way to do this. Like, you have to play the game within your own confines, the confines of yourself. And honestly, if you don't like that, don't add him. Don't roster players like that, right? You can do that. You are in control of your own rosters. All right, I think that's everything here from this game. So we're on to week 9. Wow. Stretch run. So we're in middle game phase. We're not in end game phase. So in a middle game phase, one thing that I will say, and I'm not going to get into any of these guys because it didn't make my top 10, but this is the week to make sure, as long as you're not in a 4 or 5 bench spot league, like if you only have 4 or 5 bench spots, you can't do this move. But for everybody else, 6 or more, if you have a top 10-ish running back in fantasy, then you should be handcuffing that guy if you have not already. Only one. Pick your top guy and handcuff him, because if you lose your top guy, that's the most important to you. So you need some insurance. Don't handcuff more than one guy. You're wasting bench spots if you're doing that. But make sure if you have like Breece Hall or Kyren Williams or heck, even James Cook, like make sure you have that guy. Now, if somebody else already rosters Ray Davis or whoever, eventually they're going to drop them. I would not try and trade for them. Eventually they will drop them and then you can pick them up at that point. But now is the time to just make sure you have that. You know, like we're starting to trim a little bit of fat, guys who would never start for us. And so like if you have a player who obviously will never crack your starting lineup, even if you had to start him, you'd feel really bad about it. That's a player who doesn't deserve to be on your roster, and you can grab a handcuff. Like, this is the week. We're not in end game phase. And when we get there, I will tell you, like, for most of us, it's not really until about week 14, but usually it's the playoffs when we're in the end game. And there are different things we do in the end game that we would not do now. I would not block my opponent right now. That is a waste of a bench spot. The win is not that important. I would rather use the bench spot to ensure that my team is good enough to sustain and to move forward here week in and week out. Depth matters. Getting one silly victory because you blocked your opponent at quarterback or whatever, it doesn't matter right now. Now, in week 14, you may have to block your opponent because you may need that win to get into the postseason. That's when we're in end game phase. That's an end game move. It is not a middle game move. So just be aware of that. But making sure you have that key handcuff right now is a middle game move if you don't already have them. Let me talk about some of these injuries really quickly here. So McCaffrey looks like he will. His window is going to be open. I think he comes back the first week. So Shanahan told us that. I think McCaffrey is back. His handcuff is Jordan Mason. I don't care what any other waiver wire column out there you've read says. Isaac Arendo is not worth picking up. He isn't. He's worth rostering in Dynasty, sure. But the handcuff is Jordan Mason. He's day-to-day. He could have come back in this game. And if McCaffrey goes down and Mason is healthy and Garendo is healthy, Mason is the guy. So don't waste a waiver claim on Garendo. I actually have seen some people dropping Mason too, so be aware of that. Juwan Jennings should be back after the bye. We'll talk about him. Deebo Samuel day-to-day, so not a big deal with him. Still no word on the extent of Stephon Diggs' injury. All we know is he went DNP yesterday. I even just refreshed news just in case. He went DNP yesterday on the estimated practice report, allegedly underwent an MRI, but that's all we know. So we'll see. Be prepared. Jordan Love is a groin strain day to day. He could even play this week. It's an important one for them against the Lions. We'll keep an eye on that through the week. DK Metcalf looks like he could return to the field against the Rams. We'll keep an eye on that one, but that's good news. Day-to-day on T. Higgins is good news. Brian Thomas Jr., so it was a little bit of a roller coaster ride yesterday. So we initially heard 2 to 4 weeks from Jeremy Fowler. Then Doug Peterson said day-to-day could play this week. I'm inclined to believe Jeremy Fowler. I've met Jeremy. I've talked to Jeremy over the years a couple different times. He is about as sharp a shooter as there is, like straight arrow. Like rarely does he report something that isn't, you know, true. And so I'm inclined to believe him. 2 to 4 weeks is not bad. It'll put Gabe Davis, provided he's good enough to play, on the radar this week. And obviously we'll talk Parker Washington in a minute. But Gabe Davis, we know what Gabe Davis is. Not a big one there. Let's see. What else? Derek Carr could be back this week. He's not an ad for me in one quarterback leagues. I'm getting a lot of questions about Anthony Richardson. So I'm not going to do the whole bit again. If you missed my little rant yesterday, go back and listen to yesterday's podcast. But is there a possibility we see Joe Flacco? I think it would be very tough for the organization to do. We saw the Carolina Panthers make a move like this, and it seemingly didn't really work. Like they now, granted, Richardson wasn't the number one overall, but he was a top five pick, and that is very valuable. So if you throw in the towel on him right now, you could say it. You could say, oh, well, he needs more developing, but he probably would have needed that originally. So why didn't you just start Gardner Minshew last year? Or heck, why didn't you come in this year and say, we brought in Flacco because we really want Richardson to sit behind him and learn. We learned from last year and we know he needs a little bit of work, and we're going to emulate some of the other organizations who have done this. Could have done that. And I think it would have been less damning than if you do it right now. So I don't know what happens. Shane Steichen said they're going to entertain really every possible avenue. I don't know. James Winston, by the way, is the starter for the Browns. So there is that. And we're heading towards the trade deadline, which will be next week. Probably the most noteworthy player who looks like he could be on the move is Deontay Johnson. They could trade Adam Thielen as well. Both of those guys could be out of the mix. And, you know, if that's the case, it looks like they're trying to get a fifth for Deontay Johnson. That's the latest report here. That's cheap. That's from Joe Person over at The Athletic. That is very cheap. He's in the end of his deal. He certainly isn't necessarily, he hasn't endeared himself to the Panthers. So, I mean, it's not a bad rental play if you think you're in the mix. Like if you're a team, let's see, the list here includes the 49ers. I could see that. That would be pretty good for him. Commanders, not bad. Chargers, that actually makes a lot of sense. Because they have Ladd McConkey, but they don't have a perimeter receiver. The Texans, if Stephon Diggs is out for the season, and then the Buccaneers, all of those are really good landing spots. So just hold if you have Deontay Johnson right now. And I do think something ultimately gets done there before next week's deadline. All right, let's get into waivers for this week. Again, the waiver wire tool is there. And I start updating that on Mondays, usually around noonish. The first batch goes out. It's just an initial set. There isn't even fab early on Mondays. I go in on like really during Monday Night Football and I put all that in. add more players. Then like Tuesday morning, I'll add my defensive streamers, and then we're off to the races. And now here we are 48 players later. So I give you the top 10 on this podcast every single week. Oh, one other thing too, really, before I get into that, people keep saying, oh, you have no podcast on Wednesday. No, that's not true. I do have a podcast. It's just not on this feed. I am obligated by my ownership status at FTN to do the FTN Fantasy podcast on Wednesdays. So that podcast, it is not called the FTN podcast. If you search that out, you will not find it. It is called the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. Search it out. You'll find it. I do the Wednesday edition. And then Mike Randall, he actually records it on Sunday nights. You may not hear it on Sunday nights. Like if you're like me and you go to bed at a reasonable hour, you probably won't hear it. But it is there for you first thing on Monday morning. So, and it's quick too. Mike does a great job, very concise, highlights some of the biggest things that happened on that day so that if even if you didn't see everything, now you can kind of process like the most important things that happened on a football Sunday. It's there Monday morning first thing. It's a great addition to the podcast. And I do my Wednesday bit. I don't just run through rankings or anything like that. I'm talking news, trying to contextualize things, trying to give you the most, you know, up-to-date, most informed information possible, just like we do on this podcast. It's this podcast with different music, largely. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel on that show, but FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. Subscribe to it, and you'll get me on Wednesdays on that particular feed. Number one this week, and this is the first time I will say this all season long, I have a 50 to 100% fab bid. Yes, that much on Tyrone Tracy. He may not be out there for you. If you followed along with the waiver tool, if you followed along with me, heck, I even said it on this podcast. Remember several weeks ago, I was like, yeah, I picked up Tyrone Tracy and I may have to use him. Well, I'm glad I did. And that's proactive. They talked about this earlier about the 3 a.m. people. If you're waking up at 3 a.m., you are reactive very often on Wednesdays. And what I'm talking about is some people wake up in the middle of the night to do waiver claims. Why not just put them in before you go to sleep? And I know people want to save their waiver priority. Why? Let's put it this way. Let's say you're like fifth in the priority and the number one, two, three, and four person want to save their priority. Well, guess what? You're going to blow by them and you're going to get whoever the heck you want. And if they do it next week and you're eighth, you're going to blow by them again and get whoever you want. And then when they wake up at 3 a.m, they used to be able to pick up players because everybody was doing the same thing as them, saving their waiver priority. Well, now when they go to pick up those players, they're going to see, oh no, they're gone. Wait, what? The guy who had the eighth waiver priority picked up all these people? Yep. It's a smarter move, man. And it's proactive, not reactive. When you're proactive, you get the guy at 1 or 2 or 3%, not at 50 to 100% as well. Tyrone Tracy has been in my waiver wire tool for what, the last 5 weeks, has it been? You would have been way ahead of the curve. And I'll tell you, the best thing in the world is when you already have the guy, the big waiver out of the week. And he was it last week too. But when you already have him, it's the best feeling, man. And that's being proactive, not reactive. And you can definitely do this. Like I'm telling you, the best waiver claims that I've ever made are not the ones that are the guy who just blew up and you get him the week after. It's the guy that you pick up 2 or 3 weeks before they blow up. Those are the best. Those are the difference makers. Those are, and I hate this phrase, but I'm going to use it, the league winners. I don't know if Tyrone Tracy wins you your league this year. And remember, he could be out this week due to concussion protocol, but he should not be over 50% available in fantasy football right now. And he is. Another player, if you were proactive 2 weeks ago, you know, and I had him pretty far down. I was a 3 to 5% on him, Cedric Tillman. Well, now we're 10 to 20% on him. He is over 80% available. He scored twice last week, 7 balls, 99 yards. He's going to be one of the most highly added players of the week, like hands down, no doubt about it. And this is sustainable. And it's even better because Jameis Winston is going to be the starter going forward. So good. Very good. Who would have thought I would be saying that, but it is true. Number three, a tight end, Cade Otton, 7 to 15%. So back-to-back huge weeks. Not just huge for fantasy, huge volume weeks. That's more important than the fantasy points. He is going to be heavily involved until at least Mike Evans returns, and that should be, you know, we're looking at week 11. They have this week, they have bye next week, then Mike Evans likely returns. But the thing about it is, when we evaluate all of these situations, we have to understand why the production happened. It's not just like fluky. Cade Otton has a big game, the game that Chris Godwin leaves, and then he has another big game, the game Chris Godwin isn't out there. And when you think about like those short and intermediate targets that Godwin was getting as a slot receiver, they have to go somewhere. And yes, some of them will go to Jalen McMillan. And I don't hate Jalen McMillan, but it's going to go to who Baker Mayfield is most comfortable with as his next best receiver in that area of the field. I don't think this is a coincidence at all for Cade Otton. That is where he's very good. You know, he, in a lot of ways, was sort of the next Cameron Brate for the team. And it looks like he'll be better than Cameron Brate, but that was Cameron Brate's area on the field. So I'd go 7 to 15%. Now, he was widely added last week, but I find him sustainable. I don't know if he's necessarily going to break through the streamer tier because it's very hard at tight end, but I do like him a lot. And that's a lot for me, 7 to 15%. But you're going to see as we now are on the backstretch of the regular season, you're going to see the bids start to go up a little bit because your money doesn't earn you anything in the offseason. You're not getting interest on this stuff. Josh Downs, 5 to 10%. Anthony Richardson is his quarterback. That's not good. But is he immune to Anthony Richardson? I mean, definitely Michael Pittman is not. He is very susceptible. He is allergic to Anthony Richardson. But Downs had another big game. It's been hit or miss. But then also remember, Flacco could end up being the quarterback too. And he's available in about half of leagues. Juwan Jennings. Now, the beauty to Juwan Jennings, so he didn't play this week, but he should be back, as I noted earlier, after the bye. And what I love about guys going into bye is most of your opponents do a major mistake when it comes to waivers. They don't use a waiver wire tool. And yes, I could promote FTN Fantasy again, but it's not about that. They don't use a waiver tool. They may not even use like a waiver wire article. They sort by projected points. And guess what? When your team is on bye, your projection, I can guarantee, I know, I don't care what site you're playing on, it's zero. You will not show up. So 5 to 10% on him. But you could probably get him on the lower end of that. Also, watch for people to drop Juwan Jennings this week. If that happens, scoop him up. And yeah, maybe they trade for a wide receiver like Deontay Johnson, and maybe it doesn't work out. But I mean, you're not paying a lot at 5 to 10%, so it's a shot I'm willing to take. Christian Watson, 5 to 10%. Just under 50% rostered. He saw his playing time increase this past week. He played 49 snaps. Dontavian Wicks played 21. You know, last week people were like, oh, why don't you have Dontavian Wicks in the waiver tool? Because we've already seen this. We've already seen this story. We don't need to go back from the matinee. We already knew what was going to happen, and it exactly happened that way. But Christian Watson, I mean, he's boom or bust, certainly. And again, if you don't like that type of player, don't pick him up. But the booms are good with him. Jacoby Myers, not boom or bust, maybe more of your type of player if you're not a boom or bust guy, but still 5 to 10%. It's not super sexy. The Raiders offense, eh. But I often say this with these types of offenses, somebody has to catch the ball. Brock Bowers is obviously going to be one, but who's the number two? It's Jacoby Myers, and it really isn't close. You know, he is he's their clear top wide receiver. It is what it is. Not super sexy, but definitely worth adding. Jerry Jeudy, 4 to 7%. He's the every down receiver, so I actually have him ahead of Elijah Moore, even though Elijah Moore out-targeted him. Everybody's going to benefit from Jameis Winston, which is weird to say, but it is very true. Keon Coleman, I'm going at 9 in this list. 4 to 7% for him as well. High ceiling each of the last 2 weeks. My one main concern, though, is as Amari Cooper gets more integrated, what does that do for Keon Coleman? My suspicion is he still doesn't leave the field, and then Khalil Shakir goes back to being the guy who leaves the field in two wide receiver sets. That was not the case this past week, but it could be going forward. But, you know, again, this is why we take shots on guys like Keon Coleman. I still don't think that this is necessarily reactive. I think you could still be proactive here. And then if it doesn't work out, you move on from him and you didn't spend 30% of your fab. Like, if somebody wants to spend 30% of their fab on any of these guys, including Cedric Tillman, let them. It'll be a mistake on their part. It's going to be really hard for any of those guys not named Tyrone Tracy to return value on that type of fab bid. And we've seen it all season long. Bad fab bids end up really biting you in the rear end. That's not good. I don't know about you. I don't like that. Not something I'm into. All right. Finally, Parker Washington. is 4-7%, and number 10. Why is he not higher? Well, he's going to occupy the Christian Kirk role, but he's not Christian Kirk, and Evan Engram is there as well. So some of Christian Kirk goes to Evan Engram. Don't go overboard with Evan Engram, by the way. We're still not sure if he is an every week tight end. There are very few of those. But either way, Parker Washington will benefit. I would say Gabe Davis potentially benefits as well if Brian Thomas is out. He benefits from Brian Thomas. Parker Washington benefits from Christian Kirk. But I would rather add Parker Washington because the long term, like if Brian Thomas comes back, then yeah, that takes a win out of Gabe Davis's sails. It doesn't impact Parker Washington really at all because he's serving in that Christian Kirk role. We saw him do this before. He was decent down the stretch last year. Like he had two nice games. So, you know, again, I'm not going to put him too high, but not a bad player. And I love the way that Trevor Lawrence has played in the last couple weeks. So that actually bodes well for Parker Washington. All right, there's your top 10. You want the entire list. You know what to do. FTNFantasy.com. If you're already a subscriber, waiver wire tool. If you aren't a subscriber, you can get in, man. It's the time. You could get in now. This is a great time to do it, in fact, because you'll get it straight on through the end of October next year. You know, you'll get all the fantasy draft stuff. You'll get the NFL draft stuff. You'll get Dynasty Startup. You'll get postseason fantasy football. You'll get best ball content, like so much. Get it for an entire year. Jelly of the Month Club. Gift that keeps giving year round, Clark. All right. That's it for me, though. So go check out the website. Otherwise, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. And again, the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast tomorrow. And then I'll be back on this feed Thursday and Friday like we usually do. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.